If my initial gut reaction to hearing about genetically modified food is correct, then I think I have reason to worry. I've heard that 85% of all corn grown in the United States has been genetically altered. I find that terribly stressful because, as my friends won't hesitate to point out, I eat far more than my fair share of the chips and salsa appetizer. If all those chips I've eaten were from genetically modified corn, I may have genetically altered myself by now. Something is certainly different about me. People have started to notice. My hair is beginning to turn gray. My skin is becoming wrinkled, and my face, especially the part lining my eye sockets, looks like it's trying to melt. Of course, these symptoms could be due to the sudden drop in estrogen that results from the small shocks that occur every time some perky store clerk or bank teller insists on calling me ma'am. But I don't remember that ever happening before I started eating those genetically altered chips. I read that some people in Japan have started putting spinach genes in pigs in an attempt to produce a leaner meat. And a Canadian group has put spider genes into goats so they can produce a stronger silk to make fishing nets and bulletproof vests. I'm not sure that just because we can modify genes and alter the nature of things, that we necessarily should. I mean, who gets to decide what to alter? If I thought that every scientist involved in a genetic engineering project was an altruistic, conscious being whose only motivation was to uplift the planet, then maybe I'd feel better about the whole thing. If all the projects were led by someone like Mahatma Gandhi, the man who said that the greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way in which its animals are treated, then I wouldn't worry about it so much. But forcing an unsuspecting goat to lactate spider silk just to make bulletproof vests makes me leery. I would prefer it if we focus less on making bulletproof vests and more on finding ways to ensure that we have no need for them. Maybe we could just leave the animals out of the projects altogether and genetically alter ourselves instead. I personally would love to have a skin gene from Halle Berry and maybe a brain cell or two from Bill Gates. But then again, I'm not sure it's such a good idea to alter the nature of nature. Of course, that kind of thinking may be just due to my nature, my genetics. I came from a long line of people who seem to know how to work in harmony with nature. My Aunt Shirley's children won't even let her toss out the compost anymore because everything she touches will sprout and grow. She once tossed a tiny piece of sweet potato peeling off my cousin Roxanne's back porch, and Roxanne ended up with this huge sweet potato vine growing wild all over her manicured backyard. One of my grandmothers was an herbalist who always had her kitchen windowsill lined with jars of soaking medicinal herbs. She knew how to successfully treat everything from dysentery to copperhead snake bites. People would drive up to North Carolina from as far away as Atlanta for one of her cures, and grade school children would drop by to get her help with science projects that involved the identification of plants and trees. One of her favorite activities was telling her own children and grandchildren stories as we sat around under one of her tall hickory nut trees, shucking corn together. My grandmother passed away last year at the age of 96, so I can't ask her what she thinks about making a plant animal, such as spinach pig, mixing spiders and goats, or modifying corn to be self-equipped with its own pesticide. Most people who know her would just assume because of her knowledge and wisdom regarding the natural world that she would have been opposed to genetically modifying plants and animals. But I'm not so sure. She was a salt-of-the-earth type person who didn't anthropomorphize or romanticize nature. And surprisingly, she loved scientific progress and enjoyed seeing new development. So who knows? She may have thought no more of shucking genetically modified corn than she would have heirloom corn. But one thing I think I can say with certainty is that she would be opposed to the type of modification that prevents a plant from sharing its natural gifts in the form of its seeds for the next year's planting. We were taught as children that no one owns plants. We learned that plants are here to be enjoyed and to help sustain us, and that they should be shared freely with others. For that reason, we were never allowed to thank a person for giving us plants or seeds. We were taught instead to thank them for their thoughtfulness and generosity. I like that. It encouraged feelings of sharing and community and made the local gardens abundant. Genetically modifying a seed to grow for only one season breeds selfishness, which is contrary to the nature of the plants themselves. I know in this day and age that I'll probably continue to eat a genetically modified chip or two, and I may find myself wearing a sweater vest made from a llama bean or something. And if that Halle Berry gene transplant thing doesn't work out, I may resort to using a rooster loofah to get rid of my crow's feet. Even so, I'm going to keep sharing plants and seeds, and I encourage you to do the same. Like plants, giving freely is our nature too, after all, and hopefully that's one trait we won't try and alter.